Long Talk Radio.
Now that I know that I've needed you.
Praise God. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Amen. Good to be with you this morning. Even though there's a limited number today. Always a limited number, but seems like it's more limited today than usual. But anyway, good Lord knew who was going to be here this morning. Amen. He's known that since time, before time began, since before there was such a thing. So, you're here, and God wants you to hear the message. Amen. There's people listening this morning by way of the internet, and God wants them to hear the message. And I pray to God that we'll be blessed today because of it. Amen. It's going to require your concentration this morning. It's going to require your dedication to listening and learning. Amen. I'll say to my child, amen, who falls asleep in church, this is for you this morning as well. So stay awake. Amen. And to all those who feel sleepy too. Amen. Stay awake and learn something. God has a message for you today. Amen. It requires your focus and your dedication to listening. So I urge you to listen this morning and gather what God has to say to you. Amen. All right, let's take our Bible this morning. We're going to turn to that same passage we've turned to for the last six or seven Sundays. I think this will be the sixth Sunday we're on the same subject. And that would be the heart of the Christian life, which is the love of Christ. That's at the very center, is the love of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. And we'll just very lightly brush upon this verse and the thought behind it. We'll pray and we'll get into the message. I mean, last Sunday, I got to the end of the message. I went home and I realized something. I realized why I struggled so hard last Sunday. I didn't pray before I started last Sunday. I knew something was missing, and I got in the car headed home. I said, something was wrong. Something I kept saying, what was wrong? And then it finally hit me. I started talking, and I forgot to pray. And I never like to do that because I don't like to get up here. I know I pray for God to bless the message, but I never like to start without praying and asking God for his power. So let's read this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:14. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Amen. We were all dead. Amen. Without a hope, without life, we had no future. All we had ahead of us was pain, agony, suffering, torment, torture, unending. We were all dead. And if it weren't for Christ, if it weren't for God's love, if it weren't for God's willingness to forgive, if it weren't for Christ's willingness to die, if it weren't for the mercy of God, we would all still be in that shape. And so seeing as how he has delivered us from death unto life, seeing as how he has passed us from the land of the dead to the land of the living, amen, and given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, then we should stop and consider and we should meditate and we should dwell and we should ponder upon that fact and think on it real hard. And if we will take time away from all the material and all the temporary things, if we will take time and stop and just stop down and just meditate on what Jesus Christ has done for you, if you'll stop and shut out all the chatter, all the clatter, all the clamor, all the strife, all the nonsense and the amusements of life and turn off the electronic device and shut off a TV and put down the newspaper and quit talking to others and get alone with God and think about what Christ has done for you, you will judge that the love of Christ is growing inside of you. It requires a focus, a refocus on God. And we're going to talk this morning about all of these are subjects within subjects within subjects, but today's chapter, I guess you would say, is holiness is the life of the love of Christ. When you have the love of Christ living inside of you, holiness is the life of that. Amen? That's what the love of Christ does. We said last week that help is its occupation, but holiness is its life. That's what it's all about. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer of the day. Father in heaven, Lord, help us. As we go into this message, Lord, we need you this morning. Father God, I need you more than I can say. Lord, I just throw myself on your altar and I ask you, Lord, please help me. Lord, please use me. Father, please fill me with your Holy Ghost. Lord, in spite of my old sinful flesh, in spite of my old, Lord, wicked nature that wants to rebel against you, Father, I pray, Lord, that you live in me today, Lord, that you control me today, Lord, that you put the old me away from me as far as possible, and Lord, that you speak through me. Oh, God, please, I pray for your power and your help today. I pray, Father, you to do what I cannot do. Lord, I feel so weak, and I need you. Lord, you be the strength today in everything that's done. Lord God, I pray for your help today. Lord, I love you so. And Father, I pray that the message go forth in power. I pray, Lord, that it wake people up. I pray, Lord, that it spur us on to live godly, to be testimonies, to be examples before, Lord, those who are babes in Christ. Lord, they might grow and they might become what you want them to be, Father. Lord, for those who are lost in this old lost and dying world, Father, I pray that, Lord, it be a testimony and rebuke their sin. Lord, to show them that, Lord, there's victory in Jesus. Lord, I pray that you please would use us today. And Lord, please bless us, help us, and edify us now in Jesus' name. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Holiness is its life. Amen. It constrains us. Again, it presses upon us. It burns from the inside out. If you are saved, one of three things is taking place in you. Either you are basking in the glow of your salvation. You are ecstatic with the love of Jesus in your life, and it's coming out of every pore. Either that's taking place, or you are so cold and dead inside, and you have stopped going to get your help. And that happens. It's called being backslidden. You've stopped going to the Lord for your help. You've gotten discouraged. You've listened to the enemy. And you've stopped to rest on the side of the road. There's lots of, you know, if the Christian life were an actual road and we were actually on that road, walking down that road, what you would find is that there are very few people walking. What you would find more often than not is there's lots of people sitting on the side gasping for breath in this day and time. Yeah, the campsites. There's KOAs everywhere. And people playing. They got football games going, weenie roast, making s'mores, they're doing everything they ought to be over in the devil's campground while the way of the Lord is almost empty. Not too much traffic. Oh, you'll find some weary travelers who are going along whistling and rejoicing, but for the most part, people have stopped and they're not walking anymore. I'm going to tell you something. This hour is dark. This hour is near the end of the road. And if there were ever a time when we need to get up off the campground, when we need to put down the football, when we need to throw the frisbee away and put out the fire, pack up our bag and hit the road, it's now. We're going to see the Lord soon. And I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of me. Amen? I don't. I'm going to tell you something. God is a God of holiness. 1 Peter 1:16 makes it very plain. It's quoting the Old Testament in many places, but it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God who saved me is holy. God is a holy God. Everything about him is holy. Amen. And because he is holy, he requires me, who is made in his image, who is saved by his blood, he requires me to be holy as well. Amen. He requires you, who are redeemed by the blood of his only begotten Son, to be holy as well. Amen. There are a lot of groups and denominations that put a lot of emphasis on holiness. And I'll be honest with you, that holiness doesn't come from outwardly things. Amen. It's not an outward thing. I see a lot of people who dress holy. They dress holy. I mean, and I'm not picking on anybody, but last Sunday night, I think it was, we stopped at Subway and got us a sandwich on our way home, and there was two couples that were sitting in the booth. There wasn't no pew at Subway, but they got their sandwich ahead of us and walked in the door. And from the moment I opened the door, I could see that it was two Pentecostal couples, and it's not hard to tell. Women didn't have on no makeup at all. But they were dressed like they were going to a runway, a fashion runway, but they had no makeup on. And the men, they had, you know, hair like the latest pop singers and blinged out with all kind of bejeweled belts and things. And I thought to myself, man, that looks so Christian. You know, I mean, I'm not here to attack anybody, but come on now. If we're gonna do everything like the world except for our face, well, that's holiness, isn't it? Amen. Except for cutting the hair and the face, amen. Listen, holiness is so much more than that. Holiness is not a checklist, amen. Holiness is an attitude of the heart, amen. It's a response to God. I'm gonna give you this morning some reasons why a believer in Christ should be holy. Amen. Number one, simply because of what God is. Because of what God is. God says, he makes this statement, I am holy. It's not that sometimes he acts holy. God is holy. God is, by definition, holiness. That's what he is. He's holy in his nature. God cannot change that. Do you understand that? God never wakes up because God doesn't go to sleep. Amen. God never decides to not be holy. God doesn't dip his sails. God doesn't change. He doesn't fluctuate. His very being is made up of holiness. As light is the essence of the sun, holiness is the essence of God. He's holy in this book right here. Amen. All through this book. This word bears the stamp of holiness upon it. Just like I go to the dentist, I've gone to the dentist and got a crown made, and they put that big lump of stuff in your mouth and you bite down on it and they tell you to hold it there, and then they take it out and you look at it, that's the imprint of your teeth, just like that. Hey, the word of God bears God's holiness all over it. Amen. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, verse 140, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. It's pure holiness. There's nothing in this word that I have to be afraid to read before my children. Amen? There's no parts of it that I have to say, children, stay out of that book. It's holy. Amen? God compares it to silver refined seven times. Psalm 12:6, he says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. I don't need to go into that story that I tell about cleaning the aluminum and getting it ready, but you know, that skimming, that constant skimming, listen, that skimming makes it clean. That burning out the dross makes it clean. Listen, God's word didn't have any dross to begin with. It's purified. He's given us an example, amen, of something that's been purified over and over and over. But I can tell you this. Hey, listen, there's nothing on earth that's as pure as this book. Amen. Every line of the word of God, every line of it breathes holiness. Amen? It encourages nothing but holiness. All through the Word, that's all it does is encourage you and I to be holy, to be like our Heavenly Father, to walk in His footsteps, to follow after His character. Holiness. God is holy in all His works, in everything that He does. All He does is holy. Everything is holy. He cannot act any way but like Himself. Holiness. God could no more do an unrighteous act than the sun can dim and get bright again. I mean, it is what it is. Amen. God is holy. Have I said that? Amen. The Bible tells us in Psalm 145, 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Why should we be holy? Because that's what God is. He who saved you is holy. Amen? So number two, why should we be holy? Because of what He's done. Amen. In Leviticus, if you want to turn over there, Genesis, Leviticus number 11, chapter 11. Leviticus number 11, chapter 11, verse 45. The Lord says, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Listen, we know this from our raising children. I mean, you know, I tell my kid, you're not gonna act like them other wild kids down the road. You're not gonna act like them kids you see in Walmart. You're not gonna act like them other kids cutting up over that table over there. You're my kids. You're gonna represent me. I tell them that. You represent me. Amen. Therefore, you're not gonna do whatever you want to do. You're not gonna do it however you please. You're gonna do it my way because that's how I am. Now, doesn't God have the same right to expect that? I'm His. What has He done for me? Well, what did He do for the children of Israel? He brought them up out of Egypt. He brought them up out of bondage. He brought them up out of slavery. Amen? Listen, God brought them out of Egypt and delivered them from Pharaoh, the greatest, most powerful man in the entire world at that time. God said, "That ain't nothing. I'll get you out of there." And because He did it, God had a claim on their gratitude and their obedience. He deserved for them to be obedient to Him. He deserved for them to be thankful to Him. Can I tell you something? He's got that same claim on you. And He's got that same claim on me. I owe Him everything. I owe Him every breath. I owe Him every beat of my heart. I owe Him every waking moment of my life because of what He has done for me. I don't deserve to do however I please. I deserve to give Him my obedience. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We serve Him. Why? Because He served us. He's taught us to be like Him. We trust Him. Why? Because He's been true to us. He's never proven Himself to ever fail us, not one time, ever. We obey because His word of truth has been given to us. And we walk in His ways. Why? Because of what He's done for us. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 19. The Bible tells us, I want you to listen to this, listen carefully. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober." Now, I was reading this yesterday, and I kind of try to put this in context. When I think of that statement, "gird up the loins of your mind," I think of a man getting ready to go to work. I think of let's just use a police officer, for example. He's not going to go in the closet and get out his overalls. He's going to the closet and get out his police uniform. and when he puts on that police uniform, then he's going to go get his belt. It's got his flashlight and his handcuffs and his pepper spray and his taser and his ammunition and he buckles all that up, and then he gets his radio off the charger and he gets his gun. He straps his gun on. He makes sure his badge is shined. He makes sure his name tag is shined and in the right place. Make sure everything is put together before he walks out of that house to go about his job that day. And when I read that, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, it means, listen, don't go out into this world today or tomorrow or the next day unprepared to live holy before God. Take time to be holy, saints of God. Make sure we've got ourselves put together before we face this world. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get yourself ready. And it says, and be sober. Listen, we can't go out in this world and just be freewheeling, do whatever we please. I'm going to tell you, the devil will have a field day with you. Unless we go out into this world prepared to live every moment of every day for God, we are going to fail miserably. We have got to go about it being serious about this life. This ain't no pleasure trip we're on. This is not no joke. I mean, we can have fun, laugh, and enjoy ourselves in the midst of it, but I'm here to tell you, unless we get right and get holy and live holy, we're going to fail. God says, be sober. So he says, get yourself ready, get serious, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said, get your mind on the right thing. Have the right goal today. Realize the Lord's coming. Get ready, get right, get your mind on the right things, be serious, and focus on what's happening. We're to be obedient children. Sometimes kids, they get sidetracked and they get wound up about something, man, they run around like a dog chasing a car. Ears pinned back, ain't looking, thinking about nothing. You and I do the same thing. We forget. We've been called unto holiness. He says, as obedient children. Obedient children. When I think of an obedient child, I think of a child that doesn't go around running his mouth. Isn't loud, isn't abrasive, isn't cutting up. As an obedient child, minds his manners. Obedient child is careful not to speak when adults are speaking. Obedient child and run up in the middle of a conversation and go, hey, 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 hey. Obedient child waits until the proper time to speak. An obedient child is not rude. Amen? The Bible says, as obedient children. That's the way God wants us to be, walking in his light. Careful before we speak. Careful before we act. Why? Why should we? Because of what he's done for us. Listen to me. When Jesus came to this earth, he did things according to his Father's will. He didn't come down here and do what he wanted. Again, we've talked about it already. He did according to his Father's will. He obeyed his Father's will. And we're to obey our Father's will as well. As obedient children, he says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Before you were saved, before you knew, before you understood how your sin grieved your heavenly Father, we're to be serious. We're to go forward in a serious mind with our eyes on the Lord, not going back to the way we were. Again, you're either hitting that road, serving God, walking in the light of the Lord, or you've gone back and camped out with the devil's crowd. Or you're thinking about it. That was that third option I never gave you. You're thinking about going back. You're mulling it over where you are. No, God says, as he which hath called you is holy. As he. There's your bar. That's where it's set. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation in every area of your life, on every day, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, not when you just get around your church family, but when you're not with your church family, when you're around people that don't care about God, when you're with people who hate God, you still maintain who you are. Why? Because it's written, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy." That's why. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter how anybody else acts. We're required to be holy because He said so. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. See, God's no respecter of persons, but that doesn't mean He's not judging. Amen? Listen, God judges. Believe me, God judges. God's analyzing me. God's analyzing you. And you know what His analysis is based on? It's based on His holiness and His word. Amen? Listen to me. You want to know if there's going to be a reward for you when you get to heaven? You want to know if the Lord's going to say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? How are you going to know that's going to happen? I tell you how. He's going to judge you according to this word. He's going to judge your works according to this word. And He gave you this word to walk in it. He gave you this word to live in it. He gave you this word to be your blueprint. He said, if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, Paul says, pass the time of your sojourn. Peter. Peter says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. This ain't no vacation. God, listen, I'm not trying to get up here and tell you God's harsh, because God's not harsh, but God's serious. God's serious about this. And God expects us to be as serious about it as He is. Oh, if Christians around this country today were serious, like God's serious, we'd have a different America. Things would begin to change quickly. He says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. The Catholics ought to read that. Hey, that all that paying money and all that stuff, get them out of purgatory. You weren't redeemed with silver and gold. Amen. From your vain conversation, from the empty way of life you used to live, received by tradition from your fathers. I'll just do it the way we've always done it. That's the way we've always, you know what that verse is describing? That's what it is. That's just the way we've always done things around here. Vain conversation, empty traditions of our fathers. He said, that ain't how you were redeemed. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And if we would take time and meditate on what he has done, and we think about what He suffered for us, and the love that was behind what He did for us, if we'd meditate on that, it would change our wicked hearts. It would cause us to be broken inside. It would cause us to weep over our wickedness. It would cause us to look at ourselves and see ourselves as we really are, not the image we portray for our own conscience. Why should believers live holy lives? Because God commands it. He commands it. He doesn't suggest it. He commands it. Amen? We're to be holy because the Lord tells us to be holy. He commands us, and when He commands us, we must obey Him, or we are in direct disobedience to His word and to His will. And we are in danger of chastisement when we are in disobedience to His will. He commands it, and we must obey. Why? Because obedience is the life of holiness. It is the life. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That ain't just a word. That there's something to that. It has substance. It's victory. Amen? It's what these songs that we sing are made of. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Holiness. above this old nasty world. And by the way, it's not up to us to decide where that level of holiness is. It's not up to us to compromise because it's us. It's not up to us to question God, put a question mark where God put a period. I know we know what old King Saul did because we talked about it in sermons past not too long ago. But when Saul was to go down and fight against the Amalekites, and God told him not to spare anything, kill everything. Y'all know the story. Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the people did. The chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" You say you're bringing this stuff back to sacrifice to him, and God said destroy it all. But I just thought it would be a good idea if I was to bring it back. You know, we wouldn't have to even kill our own sheep. We could kill their sheep. See, God, I'm trying to help God out here. God don't need our help. God's making it fine before you come along. God don't need your wisdom. You wouldn't have no wisdom if it weren't from God. God does not need us to decide what's holy and what ain't holy. God decides. Number four, why should we live holy? Why should holiness be in our life? Well, because of God's relationship to us. Because who he is to us. I had a long, long list of all the Jehovah Jireh. I thought, there's no way I'm going to get into that right now. No way I'm going to get into all the names of God. It'll take forever. But listen, sometimes y'all do a study on the names of God and see who all God is to you. He's the God of comfort. Amen. He's the provider. He's so many things. Just get into it and study it sometime. But listen, Leviticus 27 says, sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. Y'all understand what that means? You understand what it means to sanctify yourself? Realize that you are holy to God. Realize that you have been called out from this old world. There's a reason why Brandon stood up here this morning and was talking about how God showed him that what this world celebrates, when they celebrate baby Jesus, that's not what God has told us to do. God never told us, celebrate baby Jesus. I had a friend of mine several years ago, right after I first got on Facebook, and he would use that, he would say, thank you, baby Jesus, in his comments. And he'd say, going to Paris today, me and baby Jesus. And I scolded him. I rebuked him. I said, let me tell you something. He ain't no baby. Amen. Don't be calling him a baby. Amen. He's not a baby. He's my Savior and my Lord. Now, he said, I didn't mean nothing by it. But I'm going to tell you something. God never told us to celebrate baby Jesus. Amen. God never told us to celebrate a representation, a Catholic representation of an ancient false pagan deity and well, a mother and son, pagan deities. Because, folks, that's all that is. We can glamorize it. We can love the tradition. And can I tell you something? I got a songbook. I've told you about it. I've sang songs from 1883. And I didn't mean to get up here and preach on this. But let me just say while I'm here. I had a songbook, a Baptist hymnal from 1883. And in there, you know, there's not one single Christmas song. Wonder why. Could it be that back then people didn't sing Christmas songs because back then people in Baptist churches didn't celebrate Christmas? Could it be because they realized that they absolutely wanted nothing to do with the pagan traditions of Rome? The pagan traditions of Rome, which had murdered over 50 million of their brethren, murdered, tortured, executed their brethren for their faith in this book. They did not want to have anything to do with the pagan tradition. You know what that's called? That's called holiness. It's called holiness. That's not. I'm not going to compromise what I believe because the whole world begins to do it. Amen. I'm not going to yoke myself up with the traditions of the Nordic tribes of the Scandinavian nations or whatever, where they worship Odin I ain't got time to go into it all. No, God says to sanctify yourself, separate yourself, pull yourself away from the evil of this world. Pull yourself. Listen, I never realized how much evil there was in the world until I started really getting serious about trying to separate myself from it. And the more I began to try to separate myself from it, the more I uncovered until it got overwhelming. And I'm like, my Lord, it's everywhere. I can't go anywhere. There's evil everywhere. There's evil in everything. You begin to understand why God just wants me separated under this book. Amen? Because there's evil all around us. God says, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Is it any wonder he tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 and following, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There should be some definite care taken in every one of our lives that we not entangle ourselves so deeply with someone who's not saved to the point to where their wants, wishes, and desires begin to weigh upon us. Amen? That separation happens because God is more important than they are. We've talked about it before. God's more important than me. God's more important than my wife. God's more important than my kids. God's more important than you. God's more important than the policeman. God's more important than the judge. God's more important than the president. God's more important than all of the governmental officials in the whole wide world wrapped up together and all the armies of the world in anything in this world. God's more important than any of it. And if I live like that, the world is not going to like me, but that's okay. They didn't like him too much either. Matter of fact, they put him on a cross because they couldn't stand his message. Amen? I shouldn't be shocked when the world doesn't like me either. I shouldn't let it make me mad because the world don't like me. Well, who cares? When I die, I'm not going to the world. I'm not going to spend eternity with the world. Forget this old nasty world. Listen, I love the Lord Jesus. And he's called me out of this old nasty world. He says, listen, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? We have nothing in common. I'm saved. You're lost. What communion hath light with darkness? Listen, I can't talk of holy things to someone who loves evil. What is that verse over in Proverbs? It was chapter 6, or maybe it's 8:36. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all them that hate me love death. This world loves death. This world is so preoccupied with death. I mean, they put skulls and stuff on little kids' clothes. They decorate children's things with death. They celebrate death in movies. They celebrate death in video games. They celebrate death in music. I'm about life, folks, not about death. God called me out of that death. God called me away from that death. Amen. Listen, I have a relationship with the life giver. Amen. I don't want nothing to do with death. Amen. I don't want nothing to do with the destruction of this old world. Listen, the only thing I care about the destruction of this old world is when I'm with him and he's wiping it out. Amen. I'm not interested in this world destroying itself right now. I'm not infatuated with that. What I want to get infatuated with is God and his righteousness and his holiness. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't got nothing to do with them. Amen? I need to separate myself. I need to come out from that. Amen? You need to come out from that and separate yourself from that. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Amen? But our tradition, hey, forget your tradition. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. God wants to live in you. God wants to bring forth His character through you. God wants His love to be shown to others through you. There's a reason why John said, He must increase and I must decrease. That ought to be every one of us. You need to decrease. I need to decrease. God needs to increase in my life. Always, ever increasing. Wherefore, come out. Come out! Think of a man in a burning building. He's trying to go in there and save something that means very, very little. He's risking his life and risking everything he has for some little trinket in a burning building. And I can tell you, all the firemen will be hollering, "Come out! Come out! Come out!" You and I are very foolish like that, trying to hang on to things of this world. This world is burning down. And God says, "Come out! Come out! Be you separate." Don't stay with that old nasty world. It's burning down. Come out. Be you separate. Stand with me. That's what he's saying. Touch not the unclean thing. It's unclean, you see. Listen, this world and its attitude, this world and its wisdom, it's unclean. This world and its traditions are unclean. This world and its methods are unclean. This world wants us in sin. This world wants us weak. This world wants us destroyed. This world wants us ineffective. Come out. Come out and get the victory. Don't stay in the camp of defeat. Come out. Be separate. Don't even touch the unclean thing. Don't play with it. Don't touch it. God says, and I'll receive you. God's talking. Listen, folks, I wish you could get what he's saying. God wants to wrap himself around you. God wants to, I mean, listen, there's a reason why it said the love of Christ constraineth us. There's nothing better than when you're a little kid jumping up in your daddy's arms and him putting you in a big old bear hug. Just a big old bear hug. Listen, that's why I want God around me all the time. I want that big old bear hug from God. Amen. I want him to just surround me with his love. Do you know, it won't be like that if I'm still preoccupied with my own self, my own wicked things, and pride and prejudice and envy and greed and the pagan things of this world. I got to come out from all that junk. God's not wanting to put his arms around me when I'm living like that. God wants me to come out. I can't pretend to be strong in the Lord when I'm weak. That's fake. That's phony. God's not wanting a bunch of phonies. God wants those who will get up off the side of the road and start walking toward him. He said, I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We got to hurry. Listen, why should we as believers be holy? Why? Because of his choice of us. God, listen, I'm not trying to get hyper-Calvinistic this morning, but listen, God chose us. God chose us before the world began because he knew we'd believe. Amen. God in his infinite wisdom and his sovereignty saw us down ahead of time, and he knew who'd believe and knew who wouldn't. And the Bible tells us in Leviticus 20:26, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy and have severed you from other people. Yeah, I know he's talking to the children of Israel, but he did the very same thing to me and you. That ye should be mine. That's what he says. Why did he choose us? To save us from our sin? To save us from hell? Sure. But more than that, we're chosen in Christ that we should be holy. God chose us to be holy. God chose us to represent Him. God chose us to be His mouthpiece. God chose us to be His ambassadors. God chose us to be His messengers. God chose us to herald His message. We should be holy and without blame. Listen, you and I, the world should never be able to look at us and say, yeah, they say they're Christians, but look at that. But what about that? Or what about this? Listen, we ought to live holy before Him and before them so that they don't have anything to accuse us of. Only thing they can accuse us of is believing on Christ. 1 Peter 2:19 through 24, the Bible says, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Let me read that again and get you to understand that. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Because he loves the Lord and he stands for truth and right, endure grief. Others give him grief. Others cause him to suffer wrongfully for his faith in God and his stand for Christ. The Bible says that's thankworthy. Listen, if you're going to live holy, the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Amen. You're going to be persecuted for standing for God. Don't let me tell you, or let you get the impression, rather, that it's going to be easy if you live holy, because it's not going to be easy. But I'm going to tell you something. God will stand with you if you live holy. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to suffer in this world. This world ain't going to like you. That's okay. He says, what's the glory in it? When you be buffeted for your faults, when somebody attack you for what you've done wrong, he said, and you put up with that, you take that. Okay, I understand. I did wrong. Sure, I deserve to be punished for that. I deserve for people to jump on me. He said, but if when you do well, when you're doing right, when you're serving God and you suffer for it, you should take it patiently. We're supposed to, listen, you say, I was doing right, and they jumped on me anyway. I'm mad. No, that ain't right. You're supposed to smile and say, you know what? They jumped on Jesus, and he was doing right too. Amen. And what did he do? What did he say? Did he get mad? He said, I'm going to get them as soon as I get out of this place. I'm going to get them. No. Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Father. Father, forgive them. Right? Isn't that what he said? He said, for God, Father, forgive them, right? Because they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand that they're about to crucify the Lord of glory. They don't understand that. If they understood that, it'd be different, but they don't understand that. Listen. He said, if we have to suffer for that, if we have to suffer because we're His, he said, and we take it patiently, that's acceptable with God. God likes that. You know why? We're being Christ-like. We're having holiness about us, and God likes that. God looks down, he said, that pleases me. And they're following in the footsteps of my Son, amen. He said, for even hereunto were ye called. This is what I've called you to do. This is what I've set you aside to do. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin. He wasn't wrong in any way. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. No, this world don't like you. No, this world don't like me. No, this world ain't going to like it if we live holy. But let me tell you something. God likes it. God's pleased with it when we live according to His standard of holiness. God's pleased with it. If the whole world turn against me, fine, I'll be against the whole world. But if God's pleased, that's all that matters. He said he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You and I are to live holy because of what he has done for us, because he has chosen us. Amen. Listen, the Bible tells us in 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. We are to trust and obey. We are to walk in his commandments and do as he tells us and not question and not try to do it our way. We're to do it his way because he's commanded us to. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. God didn't say if you want to. He said that's what you should do. I talk to a lot of people who claim to be Christians. They claim to be Christians. And it's pretty pointless to talk about God saving you if there's no evidence of holiness in your life. If there's no evidence of the desire to be obedient to God. Now, that's one thing. Somebody says, man, I want to serve God, but I fall down a lot. Yeah, that's evidence. It may not be great evidence, but it's evidence. It may not be that they've got every I dotted and every T crossed, but there's a desire for it. There's a striving for holiness. That's evidence, folks. But if Almighty God, the creator of the universe, lives inside of you, he will show up. He won't hide out in a closet behind the door somewhere. God is there. He's bigger than you. He has to show up. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get tested. See where he was at. You know that little story over in Judges chapter 12. Let's just read that. Judges chapter 12. Turn over. I'm real glad I didn't put all the other stuff in here. We'd been here till 1:30. Judges chapter 12 verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, and the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passeth thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Now let me just tell you what he just said. Jephthah was a judge in Israel, and they're about to go over and fight, or they had gone over and fought, and the men of Ephraim, they said, hey, why didn't you call us to go with you to battle? He said, you know what? He said, hey, you know, we're gonna burn your house down. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at a great strife with the children of Ammon. We had a fight going on, man. He said, and when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. You didn't help me before. He said, and when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands. I didn't have your help. And passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then you come up unto me this day to fight against me? So what's your beef with me? You didn't help before. Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. They're going to pick on them. They're going to fight back. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, ye Gileads are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. Listen, the men of Ephraim are mouthing. They call them all kinds of names and talking ugly about them. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped, said, let me go over. There were some that tried to get away. See, the children of Israel are attacking them. They're fighting them. And some of them got on the river and decided they'd get out of there. Well, they stopped them. And they asked them. They said, let us go. Let us go. We're not them Ephraimites. No, let us go. And he said, look here. He said, nay. He said, are you an Ephraimite? He said, no, I'm not an Ephraimite. Verse 6, then said they unto them, say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. You see, that was the way he could tell. That's the way they could tell who was their enemy and who was not. See, who was for real and who was not. He said, y'all, speak different. They speak different. Just like, listen, people that ain't Spanish have a hard time going, they have a hard time rolling them R's, you see. And people that speak Spanish, they have a hard time pronouncing some English words because they're not used to talking that way. He said, all right, let's hear you say Shibboleth. And they couldn't say it. And that's how they knew they were phonies. But I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, we're going to stand before the Lord of glory. Let me tell you something. It's all going to be tested there. He's going to check us out and see what we're really made of. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. I want to be standing before him and him say to me, well done. Don't you think for one second you won't be judged. God demands holiness. And our life speaks what we are. Our life, hear what I'm saying, our life speaks what we are. Do you understand that? Your testimony speaks what you are. Why should we be holy? Because of our relationship to him. Leviticus 21:6, and they shall be holy unto their God and not profane the name of their God, for the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God they do offer, therefore they shall be holy. Well, it's describing Aaron and his sons, and they were holy because they were priests unto the Lord. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. What are we here for? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what you're here for. You're here to praise him and tell how good he's been to you and what he did for you. That's what we're here for. And it's very, very deceiving to have that come out of a mouth of a life that's corrupt. Now that don't please God. That's a corrupt fountain that brings forth sweet and bitter water. God's not pleased with such as that. God called us to holiness, not to be up and down and back and forth and one thing one minute and something else the other. God calls us to get to victory. God calls us to get in his light and walk in it. We are royal priests. That's what God calls us. I have a hard time looking at myself in the mirror and saying, man, you're a royal priest. But that's what God calls me. And I'm called to show forth his praises. My life's not here to brag on me, toot my own horn. I'm not here to work to have everybody look at me and say, boy, look at you, what you've done. Listen, I'm here to give God the glory. I'm here to praise him for the salvation that he's given to me. I'm here to give God glory for what he can do for others. That's why we're here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to like the president to talk about this, but you know what, up there in the White House, I mean, I know they got way more staff than they ever needed. They got so many assistants and people waiting on them and all this, that, and the other. But you know what? Them people, I guarantee you, them people are very careful in everything they do. I guarantee them people that are on staff in the White House, every move they make, it's calculated, it's planned. They got it down. They know exactly what they're doing, and they do it right every time. Why? Because it's very crucial and important because they're serving the President of the United States. You go over to England, you go over to the castle, and you watch them servants of the queen walking around doing everything. I guarantee you, they do everything just right. I don't know what them guys are, wear them big giant fuzzy hats that stand still and don't move all day long. What are they called? I don't know either. I've been trying to think about it ever since yesterday. But anyway, somebody knows. What are they called? She tell you? Parliament. All right. See, I don't know. I don't know about that stuff. But anyway, but they stand there all day, frozen. You know what? They do it just right. They do it the way they're told. Why? Because they're in service of the queen. Let me tell you something. We're in service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. which goes, his power and his kingdom supersede far greater than any kingdom here on this earth. And he's called us to be his servants. And what carefulness we ought to have. What great care, what great pains we ought to take to be good servants. And I'll be honest with you, I don't do it like I ought to. I fail. I fall short. And it grieves me when I do. I hate to fall short. I hate to disappoint God. I hate to fail him. Oh, I want to please him every day of my life so bad. But let me say this. Let me close with the last one. Y'all was looking for that one, weren't you? Number 7. Why should a believer live holy? Because God promises to do it. Don't miss that. See, all up until now, you've been thinking, man, that's a lot on me. That's a lot to ask of me. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Well, good news. Leviticus 21:8. Now listen carefully. Thou shalt sanctify him therefore, for he offereth the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. God is going to do whatever becomes in your life. Whatever holiness you have will not come from you. Hallelujah. The pressure is not on me to generate holiness. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't make holiness. You can't manufacture it, not one drop. So the wonderful thing about all of this, yes, there's a lot of pressure on me to live holy. Yes, it's super important. Yes, God has commanded it. Yes, in light of all he's done for me and all he is to me and all he is, I should be holy. But the great thing about all of it is that I can't do it. He's going to do it, and he promised he would. What did he tell Paul? And Paul besought him 3 times, Lord, thing from me. Oh, Lord, help me. Paul was in a bind. Paul was in a mess. Paul didn't know how he was going to make it. He was looking at it and saying, this is too hard for me, is what he was saying. Lord, take this out of my life. Remove this thing from me. It's hindering me. What did God say? My grace is sufficient. That's enough. That's what that word means. It's enough. My grace is enough. You don't need, your earthly woes should not stop you from having my holiness. Your earthly woes should not cause you to take steps backwards, son. I'm your father. And my grace is enough. So let's boil this down to its true essence. This week, oh, by the way, I told you last week, I said, you know, this is a week of Thanksgiving and we ought to be thankful. Did the devil attack you like I told you he was going to? Boy, he did, didn't he? Try to steal your Thanksgiving away from you, didn't he? That's what he does. We're not ignorant of how he works. No. And I'm going to tell you today, the devil's going to try to tell you that you can't live holy. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to throw everything he can at you to get you to want to give up and say, you know what, I tried and I tried and I tried and I failed. I'm going to share this with you and I'm closing. I was standing right here at this pulpit one Sunday after church a number of years ago, and a man who was a member here and had been a member of this church almost from its beginning came to me, he and his wife, and he had been praying for something for quite some time. And God had not answered his prayer as of yet. And he got discouraged. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, I don't understand why God isn't answering my prayer. He said, we're doing everything we're supposed to do. We're doing everything we're supposed to do. God didn't answer. You know, that just so resonated with me. We're doing everything we're supposed to do. Can I tell you something? It's not about what you're doing. Amen. It's not about, I'm a good Christian. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. It's not what it's about. It's about your heart. About what's on the inside, not what you're doing on the outside. Because see, there's plenty of people who do all kinds of charitable things and don't have the right heart. There's plenty of people who are super religious, but they don't have the love of Christ in their heart. And that man got discouraged, and that man quit church, and that man is off somewhere, and he don't even talk about the Lord no more. His family's in shambles. He despises me, and he despises his church. And ain't nothing ever been done to him except that he never let Christ live in him. He tried to do it for him, for Christ. You can't do it, but you can have a willingness to separate yourself from this world and come to Christ and say, Christ, I need you to do it through me. And I willingly put myself in your hands. Though everything in the world go wrong, though everybody I trusted turn against me and fail, though all my plans come to naught, I trust you and I want you to live in me. And I don't care what happens here. All I care is that I please you. If a person will put themselves in his hands, God will love you and bless you beyond your dreams and imagination. But you and I got to get out of the way and let God do it. But we have got to make a decision that we are not going to try to live holy lives, but we are going to try to live with Christ living through us. You understand what I'm saying? Quit trying to impress God and just be His. Just get in that book and forget what everybody tells you and just get in that book and let that book tell you. Quit trying to do it in your power. Quit worrying about what you suffer and focus on how he suffered for you. Because I can tell you right now, you're going to suffer. But I'm going to tell you something. In that suffering, there's joy because you know you're sharing the sufferings of Christ. That's where joy comes. Be ye holy. God's holy. There's fellowship with God. Amen? Get that fellowship. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Get in that life. Get all you can of it. It'll take you up above this whole world and this world's circumstances. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, help us now. Bless this invitation, Father. I pray, Father, for each and every one that's come to your house today. Lord God, I pray that, Lord, if you've spoken to us and worked on our heart today, Lord, I pray that we'd come and do business with thee. Father, that we might, Lord, be changed and be what you want us to be. Lord God, I pray we'd come and yield. Lord, that's truly what we need to do, is just yield and let you have your way with us. Father, please bless. You know the needs of each one. Please deal with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In His Word. You know, somebody might ask themselves the question, is it possible to live holy in this world right now we live in? Oh, it's absolutely possible.